Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. What is your idea of the ideal body? Mine has always been the mythic physique depicted in the sword and sandal films that were popular during my childhood. This heroic template was in turn inspired by the Greco-Roman statuary that depicted my Olympian ancestors. Both cinema and sculpture celebrated the mighty ones of old, the doers of great deeds. I'm currently in my 60s and no longer as eager to tackle the heavy poundages as I once was in my youth. However, I am determined to embody and express my ideal physique to the best of my ability for the remainder of my years. I've recently declared a quest for optimal wellness in my community. You're invited to accompany me on this quest and to share the details of your own journey on our podcasts or in our online groups. Today on Mythic Physique, I am greatly honored to have as a guest Mr. Maceman himself, Rick Brown. Greetings and welcome, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. How are you?
I'm doing great. That is quite a title. I'm dying to find out how you earned it. So I guess we'll start off with your journey to becoming Mr. Maceman.
Okay. Well, I too am in my 60s. I'm almost 63. And totally was enamored by the Hercules movies. I tried to watch as many as I could. Back when I was about 10 or 12, my mother worked at a drive-in theater, and so if that week they were showing a Steve Reeves movie, well, I was there every single night. I watched it all 7 nights. That's just what you had to do, right? There was no place I'd rather be. So, growing up in the 70s, I tried the traditional bodybuilding type of training, and I trained as hard as I could. And make progress in strength, but I just didn't have the mythic physique. I had a good physique, but I'm really tall and really long and stretched out, and I just didn't look like my buddies who trained alongside me. And I never gave up. I was always looking for new methods of training or old methods of training. And now, mind you, I live in Southern California, so I had access to Gold's Gym, Vince's Gym, World Gym, and would regularly make trips to train there and to see and talk to the guys that train there. But around the turn of Y2K, I started finding out about things called kettlebells. They were pretty new to America. Mm-hmm. And so I became a certified kettlebell instructor, and I really liked the fact that it didn't matter that you didn't have a particularly good frame. You could be long and stretched out like I was. They didn't care about your skin tone or lack thereof, being that I'm as pale as snow. even though I live in California all my life, I'm as pale as snow. They didn't care about that. It was just what can you lift? And so I said, I'm in. I want to learn as much as I can about kettlebells. And I became, around 2004, 2005, I became a certified kettlebell instructor. But I was already almost 50, so I was, you know, competing for clients with a bunch of young, hard-bodied guys, and it was tough going. I did okay, but it was tough going. And you know, Hercules, always keeping my ear to the ground, so to speak, always looking for different types of training. I was on the internet, and I found this thing called the Mace. I found a guy in a wrestling group, because I used to be a wrestler, and he was advertising that people could become strong and fit and conditioned by swinging something called a Mace, which is like a bowling ball stuck into a broomstick. Okay. And that's probably the most easiest way I can describe it for somebody who's never seen it. Let's say a 4-foot pole with a 10 or a 20 pound bowling ball on the end of it. And I was just fascinated by it. I remember I was at the library on the internet because I didn't have a computer at the time. So I'm driving home from the library, and this is no fabrication. It actually happened just this way. I'm driving home wondering, how am I going to learn about this mace thing? And a truck pulls in front of me, and it's the vehicle has been wrapped for advertising, and it says, "Learn to swing a mace." And, you know, I'm not the brightest guy around, Hercules, but I know when God's talking to me.
Yes.
And so I flagged the guy down. I pulled him over. I said, "Listen, I got to learn to swing a mace. It was meant to be." And it just so happened that he was the only guy in America teaching the mace at the time. His name is Jake Shannon. And it just so happened that I lived two streets over for him.
Wow.
From him. I took advantage of the opportunity. I became his student, and I was just learning about the internet. And I told him, I said, "Hey, I want to take this to the world." And Jake, very pragmatic, you know, he wrestling coach, he had a radio show. He did many things. He said, "I really don't think there's a market for it, but go ahead if you think you can do it." And I said, "I'll make a market for it. I'll talk about it on the internet to anyone who will listen or read my post." And at the time, mind you, I'm a kettlebell instructor, and I have clients, and one of them had a video production company, and he wanted to do a video, a DVD at the time, on kettlebell training, and he used me as the guy for it. I was delighted. So we did this video, and we had a little extra time at the end of the filming session. So I said, "Let's go outside and film an actual workout." And as part of the workout, he would swing a mace. So I had him swing a mace. And when that video was posted online, nobody asked me any questions about kettlebells because people knew what they were. But everybody asked me about what was that thing he was swinging. What is it? What does it do? What is it for? What are its benefits? Can anybody learn it? So, you know, I figured, okay, well, this is what they want to talk about. Okay, now I'm Mr. Mace Man. Nobody else was talking about the mace. Nobody back in 2007. About the mace. And so at the time, I think my business name was Liberty Strength Training. Well, I quickly changed it to Mr. Mace Man. And changed my logo and everything. And I decided it still was rough going for a while, but around in June of 2013, I got together with a friend, and we rented a gym, got a videographer, paid our insurance and everything. And we advertised that we were going to teach a mace seminar, and 18 people showed up, and
wow.
I was astonished. I was astonished. And if any of the people of the 18 are listening to this, please contact me. I know most of them. I remember them. But please contact me. I have a commemorative T-shirt I'd love to send to you for free.
Oh, great.
But so I started doing these May seminars, and it was basically in the Los Angeles, San Diego area. And I think I did one in Central California. And then I got an offer to do one in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I thought, boy, this is really something. I'm flying to teach somebody the mace at a seminar. I'm going to teach a group of people. And I felt like I was at the top of Mount Olympus right then.
Sure.
Things could not get better. I said, things can't get better. I'm about almost 60, and I've reached the pinnacle of my life. This is as good as it gets, right? So a little while after that, I'm at home at night. Now I have a computer now, and it's in the middle of the night, and I get a text from a guy, and he says, "Mr. Mason, I'd like you to come to my gym and teach your seminar." And so I responded to him, "I'd love to. If you're not in California, you have to fly me out. You have to put me up, and
right.
you have to pay my fee." And he says, "I'll do it, no matter what, I'll do it." And I said, "Where are you? Where are you located, sir?" And he said the name of this city that began with K. It was called Kilmallock. And I know that the state of Texas has a lot of cities that begin with K. You've got Killing, you've got Kinemont, and I said, are you in Texas? Now, mind you, this was all on text. Had he have been speaking to me on the phone, I would have heard an accent. But he goes, no, sir, I'm not in Texas. I'm in Ireland. And there was a long pause because I just couldn't believe it. And I said, I texted him. I said, do you mean Leprechaun, Ireland? And there was another long pause, and he said, yes, sir, Leprechaun, Ireland. Well, 2 months later, I was in Ireland. I've been back 4 times since then. And that led to many, many other countries and many, many states in the U.S. I've done a total of 50 seminars since then.
Oh, and that is
always. Yeah, I cannot believe the good fortune that has smiled upon an old man like myself.
That is a fantastic story, and you have taught this globally. Are you manufacturing maces now? How did you get your first mace?
Great question. The first mace that I got was from Jake Shannon. He took a risk and got a company to manufacture them. And at the time, the first mace, the only mace that I could get was 10 kilograms, about 22 pounds, and rather long pole, about 50 inches long. So remember, 22 pounds might not sound like much to a guy who can bench press 300 pounds. But mind you, it's at the end of 4 feet. It's
right.
Totally different. It's not like holding a 20-pound dumbbell out in your hand. It's like holding it out at the end of a broomstick. And try that sometime. See if you can hold a 20-pound dumbbell at the end of a broomstick. You can't. So I got it from him. They were pretty much the only maker at the time. Since then, maces have followed a similar trajectory that kettlebells have. At one time, there was only one place to get kettlebells, but now you can get kettlebells at Walmart and just about anywhere. Well, the mace isn't that popular, but if you go online and look for them, you'll have a choice of about 10 different mace makers, and they're not that hard to find. So, but the first one I had, the 10 kilogram one, you know, I still have it, but I mean, it was my only mace for quite some time.
So they're readily available now. You teach this course, and have you recorded the course on DVD yet?
Well, I have it on, not on a D. Jake Shannon came out with a very, very good, but basic course. And he used me and a few other guys for the instructionals. He came out with that on in about 2010 or so. I have an online video course, something like 38 lessons with the mace, but it's not on a physical DVD.
So somebody can enroll.
It is online.
And so they could take your course online. And I see you've published a book and offered it for free to people online as well. That's very generous of you.
Well, it's just a little booklet. It's 36 pages, and there was nothing at the time, nothing on the mace. Even though the mace is, people need to know, it's 1,000 years old. It comes from India. And it's been used in India for over 1,000 years. I went to India last year to the original city, and some of the maces I lifted there, I think they were 1,000 years old. But I just was astonished that there was nothing in print. So I said, listen, there's got to be something in print. So I wrote a little guidebook, and yeah, I give it away to anybody who wants it. And I see that you posted the link to it. That's good. It took me a day to write it, and it took me, I think, a half a day with my daughter to get it so that we can, you know, post it online and send it to anybody. But it's no exaggeration to say that if you swing a mace now in America, at least, and in most parts of Europe, you've probably been given that mace by me, that mace book by me. Anybody I see online swinging a mace, I say, hey, I'll send them an instant message. Hey, I like you swinging a mace. Here's a little booklet I wrote.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
That's an ancient weapon. And Marvel Comics, in their rendition of Hercules, gave him a mace instead of his wooden club that he carried in the myths.
Oh, that's good to know. The Marvel Comics were my main inspiration for training when I was very young.
Well, me too. With me as well. That is a phenomenal story. Kettlebells, did you get involved through Dragon Door? Because they were among the first to start promoting the kettlebells, and they were the ones offering courses early on as well.
Yes, that's who I went through. You know, when they were first offering certification, I absolutely knew that was for me. This I couldn't just learn it. I had to learn it so I could teach it. But at the time, right around 2001 or so, I had just gone through a divorce, and my divorce went 50-50, half to my wife and the other half to her lawyer, and so I was stuck with nothing. And at the time, it was pretty costly to fly to Minnesota and get certified, so I had to take an extra job. I've always had a job, I've always worked, and but I had to take an extra job so I could pay for all that. And so I got a job as a bouncer at a nightclub, and it, I figured that would be pretty easy. And it was pretty easy for the most part. When I had enough money to do the certification, I became kettlebell certified. They asked me back there a few times as an assistant, and that's what started me training people in the local Southern California area with kettlebells.
And now a lot of people find that they don't have the typical bodybuilder physique. And it's good that there are alternatives to working out. And Dragon Door, they kind of pioneered that as well, too. The athletes that they had in their publications were not typically bodybuilders. You could tell that they were strong. They didn't have the physique that you're accustomed with strength in the West at that particular point in time. But in truth, we're all different, and we all have unique physiques. And one of the themes we keep returning to on the show, where I talk to a lot of people, is that you can do exactly what Reg Park did, but you're not Reg Park. So chances are you're not going to look like Reg Park.
You know, On my 20th birthday, I was born in 58, so in 1978, on my 20th birthday, a hot day in the summer, I drove to the gym that I trained, a small gym, and I was walking in the back door of the gym, and Larry Scott, the very first Mr. Olympia, had just finished training. He came there. He had retired from bodybuilding. He was probably in his very early 40s, but he was still Mr. Olympia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized him, obviously. And I gave him maybe 1,000 or 2,000 questions immediately, but he was very encouraging. And he actually gave a little impromptu free seminar to the people there. I thought, yeah, he was a perfect gentleman. God rest his soul. He's not with us anymore. But he told me about the famous preacher bench that he liked to use, and he said how it would lengthen your biceps and this and that. Well, listen, I got a preacher bench and it didn't lengthen my biceps. It got me stronger, but like you said, you could do what Reg Park does, but you're not going to be Reg Park. And I certainly wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Nor was I ever. I've gotten a muscular physique, and I could honestly say that at my most muscular, I was within the range of the Hercules's and Ursus and so forth, and Atlas and Machiste that you see in the movies. But that's a wide range of body types. You know, they're generally the same, but there's a vast difference between like Nigel Green and Reg Park, for instance, or Lou Ferrigno. You know, so there's a very wide spectrum. So I fit into that spectrum, and I tried to learn from the people who taught their courses and shared what they'd experienced. But I learned pretty early on that you could do exactly what they're recommending and do yourself damage rather than looking like them. So my life became a quest for what can I do? And I, like you, like to experiment. I'm really glad that you found the mace. And I'm curious, I was thinking until I can commit to a program, what I was thinking of doing is reading your booklet since it's there and available free, and then taking a barbell and putting starting off with 10 pounds at the end of it. And
just make sure that you fasten it very securely. It's also very, very possible to, for any of the listeners to, if they have I'm sure a lot of them have a tub of protein. When the tub is empty, don't throw it away. Fill it with wet cement, stick a dowel or a broomstick in it, and let it dry. And you would be astonished at how many people started their mace journey with just that type of setup.
That's a lot of people started their barbell and dumbbell journey too, with handles.
Absolutely. And if anybody's interested, I could send them again for free a tutorial, an excellent tutorial on how to make a mace using either a plastic tub like that, or what also works well are the clay pottery pots for planting little plants. That is ideal to use.
And is that in your booklet that you have available online?
No, it's not. I didn't write it. Another trainer wrote it, but I mean, I could share it with anybody, but I can't, even though it is free, I can't post it online. So if somebody's interested, I could send it to you, and maybe you can contact the author and ask him if he would probably agree. But it's a very, very good tutorial. I followed it step by step, and I've made some very nice maces with it.
Oh, that
very
is great.
Very inexpensively as well.
We could invite him back on, and the three of us could have a conversation about that.
He's great. He's in Australia, though. He is, so we'd have to coordinate the times. But
he's
also a mature-aged individual. I think he's 71 now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he came out to California. Oh, yeah, he's a survivor. He's a great trainer. I met him in California twice. And a great trainer.
And your course, you have an online course. How does somebody take the course? What website would they go to, and what's involved in taking the course?
Well, there's a little story behind that. Let me tell you.
Okay.
I had a gentleman. In most of the years that I've been doing this and training, honestly, over 99% of the people that I've met have been fine, outstanding, upright people, but you do have a few bumps in the road. And I did meet one man once. We will not mention his name and or his company, but he filmed, my entire teachings. He put them online, and we signed a contract, and the pay wasn't what he said, but I think he realized that he had me over a barrel, that I wasn't going to spend $20,000 to get a lawyer to maybe get $10,000 from him. So I pretty much just let him go, ignored him, and I don't even know what he's doing now, and I don't really care. I don't harbor any animosity. He'll have to deal with that on his own. So then I was – Like I told you, I'm always keeping my ear to the ground, always talking with different trainers. And I started talking with this a boxing trainer in New York. And I really liked the way he taught. And he said he was coming to California. He wanted to learn the mace. I said, come on out. I'll show you everything you need to know. And we talked, and I found out that he had an online course. And I said, are you happy with the guy who does it? Are you happy with the company? He said, 100%. He connected me with the company. It's actually a martial arts company. It's called www.maacademy.com. And if you go to maacademy.com, you will see advertisements for 7 or 8 different martial artists, a boxer, a kettlebell instructor who was a good friend of mine, and some old guy who teaches the mace named Rick Brown. So that's where my course is, www.maacademy.com. And the MA stands for martial arts, maacademy.com. And my course is a very economical course, and it's very complete and thorough.
WWMA Academy, 1A or 2As?
Well, it would be MA and then Academy, so that actually be MAACADEMY.com. So
okay. I will test that link later, and I'll put it up on the thread that we have your other links to. By the way, are there any other links that you'd like me to put up? I have your Facebook page, your Facebook Mr. Maceman page, and then the steelmacewarrior.com, where you have your free book. And you have a presence on YouTube as well. Would you like me to share those too?
You know, I don't have actually, it's about time that I get a page on YouTube, but if you just type in my name, R-I-K, it has to be R-I-K, there's no C in my name, it's a Dutch name, and R-I-K are the last three letters, so it's R-I-K Brown. You can type in Rick Brown, or you can type in Rick Brown Mace Training, you can even type in Rick Brown Kettlebell, and you can see my 12-year-old videos of when I had a lot more hair and I was teaching kettlebells then. But I've got maybe 3 or 4 dozen different videos on YouTube. And, of course, I'm also on Instagram at Mr. Maceman.
So you're very accessible. Where do you see, like, what are your dreams for the mace in the years ahead? What would you like to see?
Well, There are certain groups that are. You asked me if I manufacture sold maces. I don't. All I sell is my teaching. I'm not against selling maces. If the right company approached me, I would consider it. But I have competed in mace competitions twice. There are certain small organizations that have mace competition. There's a big, very successful organization in Spain that runs, they do a slightly different style of mace. They always use one hand as opposed to two hands, how I was taught. But I'd like to go to Spain and compete against them. They're very good at it. And so I would like to see a little bit more mace competition. I've been involved in two of them. Fortunately, I was able to be successful both times against people younger than my children. But the people that are competing now are just doing incredible things. And I think there's even a competition video of me on YouTube. You can find it. I was in Las Vegas competing. But I'd like to see, obviously, more professional sports teams embracing the mace.
Well, you like talking to people, and you speak very eloquently and enthusiastically, so I'm sure that's something you could make happen, because you are taking the phenomenal.
I hope so.
Yeah, from that comment that you made with the person who lived two blocks from you, you have a mission, so I'm sure you could take it in that direction.
I spoke with, I texted, like I said, anybody I see online who's doing the mace, I immediately reach out to them. And there was a UFC fighter, a female UFC fighter Friday that I saw swinging a mace, and I immediately I complimented her, and then I privately sent her a message along with my guidebook, along with a couple of my videos, not asking to be her trainer, offering to give anything that I could do that would help her. So if she's interested, I'm there for her.
Is there a magazine for mace competitions and mace athletics, or a general website where people who want to compete can go to get in contact with organizations and so forth?
I don't, if there is, I don't know about it. There was a small magazine called that catered to unconventional training, which is what the mace falls under, clubs, kettlebells, sandbags, ropes, things like that. And that was around for about a year or two, but it's gone away. Very hard to make magazines appeal to enough people to make them survive for a long time. So there, as far as I know, there's no mace magazine. There's no huge mace organization. Most of them are local. But with the internet, you can always Google, you know, mace. What I do just about every day, I have a 90-second commercial for my seminars, and I Google whatever city I'm interested in, Mace, San Antonio, Texas, and if anything comes up, or I will Google search unconventional gyms, Norway, and whatever comes up, I'll send them my commercial, and I'll tell them I'm interested in training people there, and you know what, Hercules, my success rate doing that is about 1%. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But before you label that a failure,
I wouldn't
just
label
know
it,
that I do about, okay. I had the same success rate when I was single, okay, with ladies, about 1%. But I got a really, really, really good one, right? And I married
her.
So, you know, my second wife, she's a dream, and I'm still with her and will always be. But I was about 1%, and I'm about 1% on the gyms that I speak to. However, I have been to Norway. Norway said yes. Ireland said yes 4 different times. Italy said yes. Beijing, China said yes. Australia said yes twice. This thing has worked. New Jersey 3 times. Kansas, even in the middle of the heartland of the U.S., Kansas, up and down the coast in California. So when they say no, I say thank you very much. And when they say yes, let's talk about it. So you got to be willing to take no 99% of the time to get it to work.
With anything, you can't get discouraged. If you want to do it, you just keep going ahead. You take all the no's as one step toward that yes. When it comes,
that's how I look at it. When I first started putting videos out of the mace, people in the traditional powerlifting and weightlifting community, they said it was a fad. Well, I said it's 1,000 years old. It can't be a fad. It survived the test of time. And then they said it was ineffective. It wasn't really strength. And I said, well, if it's not really strength, how come you can't do it? You know, you could deadlift 800 pounds. How come you can't swing 25 pounds? And so they kind of laid off me, but the traditional strength world mocked it, and it didn't bother me. I still knew it was good. I knew it was great training. I loved it, and I'm going to continue to do it. And with that attitude, I forget about the people that say no, and I just work with the people that say yes.
I'm the same way. I learned that in life, and that just because nothing is happening now, it may not mean that the connections that you've made and the work that you've done won't pay off unexpectedly. That's happened to me too many times in life. So, you know, just keep going. I'm glad that you have that persistence and that vision for it.
Yeah, it takes that. I think it all turned around for me when I decided, I came to the realization that I was going to continue to do the mace and continue to promote it, whether anybody accepted it or not. So I think when that happens, I think the everything changes, the tide changes, and it's like whatever forces there are listening, and they say, we got to give it to him. He's not going to give up, and I'm not. So it's been very good. I don't mind sending videos out 20 or 30 different gyms a day and hearing 30 of them say no every day for a month. And then finally one says, yep, you know, come to Italy. Okay, I'll do it. You know, so that's just been my plan. It might not be the best plan, but it's certainly worked for me.
It's a plan and it works. That's the important thing. How does mace training compare with like Indian club training?
Well, Indian club training is generally far superior for mobility because the patterns that they use in Indian club training, and most people that do Indian club training are very open to the mace and vice versa. The mace would generally be better for strength and conditioning. It's hard to get conditioned swinging a 1 or a 2 pound club. This is in my opinion. Okay. Very good for mobility, very good for flexibility. The mace is more for strength. Remember, it was designed for wrestlers in India to strengthen themselves so that they would have the ability to throw a body over their shoulders. And the movement of the mace is somewhat similar to that.
And what is a training session? With bodybuilding, you know, you have push and pull, or you could break down your body into different combinations of parts and do it 2-3 times a week. Or if you're doing like slow reps, to failure once a week, what type of workout? Like if I wanted to start working out with the mace, what would my workout be like on a daily or several times a week basis?
That's a very, very perceptive question, and I'm really glad you asked it. The mace, as I teach it, is another arrow to add to your quiver of strength and conditioning. The mace is not the be-all and end-all of your training. The first thing I tell people in my seminars is if you only have money to purchase one piece of equipment, you should purchase a kettlebell, because with one kettlebell, you can do dozens and dozens of things. With one kettlebell, you can train your entire body. With a mace, it's a little different. Maybe there's a half dozen things that they traditionally do with a mace, and it's geared more towards your trapezius, shoulders, grip, and upper back. And the mace is not designed for leg training or calf training or anything like that. So I say you add the mace to what you're already doing.
Okay, so like on a strength day or something, would you do it like 2 times a week, 3 times a week? What would you recommend?
I would do it whenever you train your upper body.
Okay.
The mace is very, very direct on your triceps. And it's good to stretch your triceps a lot before you start the mace. It's very intense on your elbow tendons, so don't jump into a heavy mace and do it for 100 times. I say in my guidebook, in the jungle of strength and conditioning, sneak up on heavy weights slowly. If you chase after heavy weights, injuries will chase after you. So you want to always... I tell people, don't add any weight to your mace weight until you can do at least 100 reps, at least. And
so
generally, with the mace, I don't count repetitions. I go for I swing the mace for 60 seconds, and then I rest for 60 seconds. And I might do 8 to 10 reps of that.
Okay. So I see what you're doing. So it's an upper body thing, and it's focused on strength, on building strength in certain areas of your upper body, and it should be added as a supplement to what else someone is doing.
Right. Very few people, if any, train solely with the mace. I don't know anyone who does, but. The mace works well with Indian clubs. It works well with the heavier steel clubs. It works well with traditional weights as well.
Now, are there different handle lengths for the mace? Like the mace as a weapon was much shorter.
Much shorter and much lighter, because it had to be something you swung in combat. When you swing a mace as I swing it, anybody can see it coming. They can move out of the way. It wouldn't be an effective combat tool. As far as there's nothing standard about the mace at all, even in India where it comes from, there is nothing standard about it. Generally, the maces that are sold in America are made in China, and most of them are about, I believe, 4 feet long.
Okay.
I tend to like maces a little longer, maybe because I'm taller, but I tend to like longer maces. But any size, here's the thing you have to remember. This is a physics equation here. If you're lifting a mace that's 10 pounds and I'm lifting a mace that's 10 pounds, whoever has the longer handle is doing more work
Yes, of course.
Because leverage comes in. So just consider that. I have one mace that's 7 feet long. I have to stand on a box to swing it, and it seems like it takes forever to get around a complete revolution.
Once upon a time, I'd say, basically maybe 40 years ago or so, 35 years ago maybe, I had gotten a sledgehammer with a 25-pound head, and I used to do exercise. I would make them up as I went along. I would do exercise with a sledgehammer, and there too, with 25 pounds at the head, the handle was long. It was maybe like 4 feet long, maybe 4.5 feet long. And that was very hard. That was phenomenally hard. And I had to be careful not to injure myself, especially my shoulders where I'm prone to injury. But it was a great workout. So I'm trying to compare or imagine what a mace would be like compared to like a 25-pound sledgehammer.
Very, very similar, just like a trumpet is just like a trombone. They're both made of steel, and you blow into one end, and sound comes out the other. But there are some nuances, okay? So if a person doesn't want to purchase a mace and they have a sledgehammer, hey, go for it.
Okay, you've given me a mission now. I'm going to try this out when the... This summer. I have a backyard, so I won't do that in the house here because I have family members walking around and dogs and cats. But that's something I can do in the backyard. I can go out there and initially with my makeshift mace, be it a sledgehammer or a barbell modified or a broomstick in cement, I'll definitely put together something. And I could start with that until I acquire a mace. So I'm looking forward to that new adventure.
Absolutely. Listen, I'll send you the tutorial on how to make a mace. And it's excellent. It's very low cost. I think $10 would get you a very good mace if you go to a hardware store. And you could start swinging it, and you could get all the benefits of mace training. In just adding an extra 10 or 12 minutes to your already existing workout.
And I must add that unconventional workouts have proven to me anyway to be very effective. Jacques Chakish, he started the X3 bar, which is a very simple concept. It's like a mini barbell with hooks on it, and then he has different elastic bands and a platform that you put the band under. And in 10 minutes, I was able to get a workout comparable to maybe like 45 minutes with my weights and my kettlebells, in terms of the tension. And I got really good results with it, and I still use it. So that was something unconventional, and my own intuition told me this is just a gimmick, like a lot of things that I've tried have turned out to be. But it actually was one of the most effective exercise tools in my arsenal, and I use it quite a lot. So I'm remembering my sledgehammer experiments and my barbell and dumbbell with weights on one side experiments. So I'm really looking forward to making a makeshift mace and starting that right away. And we have cats, so we have big cat litter plastic things that are empty all the time.
Oh, there you go. You're good to go. Just get some. I think they call it quickcrete, the concrete. You add water to, and it'll all the instructions will be in the. In the tutorial I sent you, and you can contact the guy, and maybe he'll give you the go ahead to share it with someone, with everybody, because it's really easy to follow along. And I think as a kid I made my first dumbbell out of dog food cans with cement, and this I might have been 10 years old, but I've wanted to be big and strong all of my life, and I've loved training, every type of training that I could learn about. I've loved it. And, interestingly, when I was a young man, I was shy and hesitant to train in public, to train where other people could see me. I would train in a gym because everybody there was training. We're all the same, right? But but I've never ever wanted to train like in a park or anything like that. Well, you know, once you round the corner of 50 and then 60, and you realize that everybody you went to high school with is a physical wreck, they would love to be working out with you.
Right.
Now when people pass me by, if they see me working out in public or training somebody, it's like, hey, go for it, old man. You know, they're very respectful. And I guess I'm no longer a threat to anybody, so they can encourage me.
You look great from your pictures. You're in great shape.
Well, thank you. I got to keep ahead. I have 9 grandkids. I have to keep the upper hand.
I'm having my first grandchild in a couple of months.
Well, then you better make the mace first, because I'll tell you this. Once that grandchild comes, you'll be spending all – you will gladly spend all your money on that grandchild.
Oh,
when you have children, you hesitantly have to spend money on them. But when it's grandchildren, gladly spend money on them.
And I'm looking forward to it. It's another one of life's adventures, and like many of my life adventures, it's a blessing, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, so, you know, I want to train. I want to train all my life, Hercules. I want to inspire people to train all their lives. When I was in Beijing, I was passing a park, and I must have seen 150 people, almost all of them my age or older, doing that traditional Chinese Tai Chi. And it warmed my heart to see older people still with a passion for exercise.
Yes, I believe in – I'm going to work out for as long as I'm physically able to. I started out my journey with the Charles Atlas routine, Dynamic Tension. And,
a great course.
Yes, great course. And I actually had the honor of working with them and for them over the years a few times. And I'm friends with the people who keep Charles Atlas's legacy alive. And that's always been like, if I had to stop working out for whatever reason in my life, and it's happened several times because of other obligations, work out. Charles Atlas was always the best way to get back into working out. You know, do that for 3 months and then ready to hit the weights and whatever else I might happen to be doing at the time. But I still do it once a year. I'll do the Charles Atlas workout as part of my warm-up process.
There's a gentleman in Scotland who contacted me, and he has a product he's come out with. It is so simple. It's called a sand flail, and it's okay. a very durable, like a sock. And you can fill it with sand. You can fill it with water bottles. You can fill it with anything like that. You can fill it with rice if you want to. And you swing it around similar to a mace or similar to how you would do Indian clubs. Mm-hmm. And it's very economical. And when you're done with it, you empty the stuff out, and you can roll it up like a sock and put it in your pocket. And
wow.
I mean, people are coming up with ingenious things all the time. If you have the passion to exercise and you have a computer, you can look and search and find something that will fit your personality, your work ethic. The mace is what I've seen almost everything that's come down the road, and I like a lot of things, but I love the mace.
And that shows with every word you speak about it. Now, please feel free on my Sword and Sandal group to advertise when you're doing something.
Okay, yeah, you know, COVID
is there. Yeah, there's around, like, there's COVID. Almost 900 people there at this particular point in time. I'll put things on my page occasionally. That's around 5,000 people that are gathered there. So in my small way, I'd like to help in your quest to get the word out. So that isn't a phenomenal amount of people, but it's a good amount of people. So I'll gladly share what you're doing there. And if you want, we can work on a Facebook group together to make a place where people can go to find out about Mace athletics and competitions and things like that. If there's no place on the internet, well, we could spend our leisure time putting one together.
That would be a tremendous idea. And that would be great. Yes. I was actually booking flights a couple of hours ago. The first flights I've booked in over a year because of the COVID restrictions.
The pandemic, yeah.
But things are opening up, and Mr. Maceman will be back in the air very soon.
Awesome.
Yes.
Now, you're somebody go ahead.
Like I think I told you before, if I am ever in your area doing a Mace, if it's doing a Mace seminar, workshop, or certification, please consider yourself a guest there. Show up. Just let me know you're coming, and I'll have a special Mace there waiting for you.
Wow. Thank you very much. I appreciate that greatly and want to take advantage of it. So you're somebody who, again, you don't give up. You're very persistent. You're very single-minded and, again, persistent. A lot of people give up the first time they encounter a no. I found that the majority of people might give it two or three times, but then they give up. They felt they gave it their all and didn't work. What advice do you have to people who might have a passion that they've discovered and they want to share it or they want to devote their life to it? What advice can you offer them in pursuing their destiny?
Let's see. Act as though it's impossible to fail. Act as though you do not care if you fail. Again, I think I said it earlier. Once I said to myself, I'm going to do this whether I succeed or not, whether I die trying or not, it seemed like everything changed, and I started to chip away at that big rock of success, and little by little, and now, you know, every time the phone rings, I'm hopeful. It isn't always a new thing, but and then when COVID happened, many things were taken from me. But COVID actually had some positives. Less people could travel, so more people bought my online course than ever before. You got to take the good with the bad. And I would tell anyone that if you're trying to pursue a passion in your life, if you have a really strong desire, the word desire itself has Latin roots, and it comes from two words, D-E, which means of or from, and sire or father. And generations ago, people believed that if you had a like or a wish or a want, that was one thing. But if you had a desire, it was given to you from the Father or our Father above. And why did he give it to you? Why did the Mace come to me? I think because the powers that be knew that I would push it. Automotive mechanics does not appeal to me. When something's wrong with my automobile, I take it to somebody who loves to fix cars.
Right.
And, it came to him. Automotive mechanics came to him. Who do you want to have paint your house? Somebody that loves painting houses. Who do you want to cook your dinner? Somebody who loves to cook. You want to go to a doctor that is absolutely intrigued with stomach disorders, if that's what you have. And, hey, it's a simple thing. I teach people how to swing a stick, but it's worked for me, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm so grateful that the Mace found me.
And talking about finding you, I know we listed several ways that people can contact you throughout our discussion, but since we're at the end of it, please kindly share what are the best ways for people to find you and to contact you.
The quickest way to get a hold of me is on Instagram at Mr. Maceman, all small case, at the at sign, and then MR period, MACEMAN. Or on Facebook, my first name is R-I-K, and my last name is Brown. So it's Rick Brown. I answer stuff always within a half a day.
I can vouch for that.
Yes. I mean, those are the two quickest ways to get a hold of me.
Well, thank you so very much. I've enjoyed speaking with you. I've learned a lot, and now you've ignited my passion to experiment with mace training, and I'll do everything I can to help spread the word. Really, thank you very much. What you're doing is awesome, and you seem to be a phenomenally awesome individual yourself.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed every minute of this.
And I plan on having you back on again. So the conversation will
anytime.
Continue. I'll have that group, I'll set it up by tomorrow, and I'll invite you, and then I'll make you a co-administrator, and this way we can both work on it. And then whenever we have time, we'll add to it, and before you know it, there'll be a resource for MACE training and for MACE education and so forth, and you're there so people can ask you questions directly, and we'll take that adventure together.
Oh, great. I'll put the word out to my contacts, and you'll have many people that will want to join.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Rick. I enjoyed it, like I said, and thanks to everybody tuned in, whether you called in, whether you are listening to us live, or whether you will visit the show later on demand. It is the same link that brought you to the show. We'll bring you to the recording of the show. And until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. We're going to end with Virginia Ackley's If You Can Dream.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. Dream.